sisters. This recording is an effort on behalf of Board Number 1 to improve communication with the membership of the church more generally. And it's our hope that in the future we can bring to you some theological teaching about the positions of the church in an audio format that may assist some of the things that we have written over the years and help everyone understand. We'll take a look at the scriptures that inform those decisions and how they came to be and why we believe what we believe. But for today, I think it would be good to just take a brief overview of the church in general and understand what we're doing and why we're doing it. And that may give us some direction about where we're going. The church itself of Jesus Christ has a twofold nature. I think it would be helpful to understand that. First, there is a spiritual nature, and then there is a physical dimension. And that's a lot like what you and I experience in life. We have a physical experience and a spiritual experience simultaneously, and so is the church of Jesus Christ. That church was formed on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost filled those believers in the second chapter of Acts, and that became the body of Christ, and that also became the church that was at Jerusalem. From there, the church and the faith expanded. But what was consistent all along, throughout all time, was this spiritual body. It was the bride of Christ. It's referred to that sometimes in Scripture. It is called the elect, where it is secure. Christ has redeemed the church unto himself. It is the pillar and ground of the truth. No man can pluck them out of his hand. In fact, that scripture is given to us in John chapter 10. And he's talking about the church when he says this. Verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." And so in that text, we see the security of the church, that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. There's nothing that the enemy can do to tear down the church. It is secure. God holds it in his hand. That is the bride of Christ. Ephesians chapter 5 describes that as the that he would present it to himself. It was going to be his bride, presented to himself as a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it would be holy and without blemish. And so that church, that spiritual body, does not have the limitations of time or space that the physical one does. There's also a physical dimension to the church that is limited by time and space and has the limitations of physical existence upon it, but it is also prescribed in Scripture. And I'm going to read to you a few verses from Ephesians chapter 4. Perhaps this will help us see the distinction between the two. I think this chapter gives us a pretty good idea about it. Beginning with verse 4. "There is one body, and one Spirit, even as you were called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all." Now, this is the describing the spiritual nature of the church. And then we get to verse 7, and there's a transition. "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, spiritual, and gave gifts unto men," physical. Verse 11, "And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." And that is why the church exists, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. That is the job of the physical church. The physical church is designed to build up the spiritual church. That's what it's for. So the role of the physical church throughout history has been to teach the Word of God. It has been to feed the flock of God. Peter exhorted that. That's listed a number of places in the, you know, when Christ told Peter to feed his sheep and feed his sheep and feed his lambs, it was later on that Peter wrote to the elders, "I exhort, who am also an elder, feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly." In other words, the church was designed to feed the flock. It is also a place of fellowship for the believers. And then the book of Acts, as we see it, that play out, there's a number of secondary purposes that the church has too, that is, we read, but they're not primary in priority, like feeding the hungry, assisting the poor, providing assistance for the fatherless and widows, and there were a number of other things that the church is supposed to do, but its primary priority is to lift up Christ, promote the gospel, teach the word of God, feed the flock. Well, because of the physical constraints of time and space, there are churches all over the place. In fact, another scriptural indication of the physical nature of the church is given to us in the book of Acts and other places. It describes churches, plural, the churches of Macedonia, the churches of Galatia, and of course John wrote the Revelation letter to the churches of Asia, the seven churches. So there's a plural nature to that, which indicates more than one. That is, but there's not more than one body. Spiritual is one body. Physical is a number of different churches. And so the world there's a lot of churches across the face of the earth now. Well, what does that mean for us? We find ourselves in one of them. Thank God for that. This is Christ's sanctified holy church, and how that came to be, I'm not going to get into today. Trust you all are familiar with the history, but it is restrained by time. It was founded on February 14, 1892, and it is limited in space. We operate in the Southeast United States, and that's our jurisdiction. But we want to be faithful to the commission of the physical church as prescribed in Scripture to the perfecting of the saints, the work of the ministry, the edifying of the body of Christ. So let me tell you a little bit about how the structure of your church operates. And I want to emphasize that all of these things are designed to promote the spiritual welfare of the people, that is, the spiritual church. Reading from the discipline, the preface of the discipline, where we have a bit of a mission statement for our church, this is just paragraph number one. Christ's sanctified holy church endeavors to uphold biblical truth, to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, and to promote righteous conduct among its congregants and members. Christ's sanctified holy church's principles of doctrine and discipline are based on the divine authority of the Holy Bible. So, in its very founding, the church created a board. And reading from the discipline, it says that the spiritual and temporal affairs of Christ's sanctified holy church are controlled and administered by a board of trustees designated as board number one, in conjunction with its auxiliary boards, which are designated as the board of extension and the general conference. The scope and authority and responsibility for board number one is set by the bylaws of the church corporation. Board number one has existed continuously since the founding of Christ's sanctified holy church. It consists of between 9 and 19 members who serve for life, except they resign or are removed for a cause. It has the duty, authority, and responsibility to regulate, build up, and assist the church. It also has the sole ordaining authority for ministers, deacons, and deaconesses of the church. So you may have wondered, what exactly does the board do? Well, I'm glad you asked. I'm going to give you a few of the duties that are specified in the bylaws of the church that are the duties of board number one. To make rules and recommendations regulating the church. To select deacons, deaconesses, ministers, and new board members. To exercise responsibility and authority over everything vital to the spiritual upbuilding of Christ's sanctified holy church. To approve all new bodies of people. To approve new members of board of extension. and to have charge of preacher's committee during camp meeting and approve all spiritual activities on the church campground and home for the aged. That may not be a comprehensive list, but that is a pretty good start of something of the responsibilities of board number one. I mentioned that its auxiliary boards were the Board of Extension and the General Conference. This is also a part of the government of the church, so I'm going to give you some information about the Board of Extension. Reading from the discipline. The Board of Extension is subservient to Board Number 1 and was created in 1938, right after the purchase of the campground, to manage the physical facilities and financial affairs of the church corporation. It consists of between 7 and 16 members who serve for life, except they resign or are removed for a cause. The Board of Extension elects its own officers from within its membership. The scope and authority and responsibility for Board of Extension is set by the bylaws of the church corporation. And I'm going to read to you a few of those. To nominate and elect their own officers. To have charge of all interest and work of church extension at the campground, church home, and farm. To have charge of financing campground improvements. To authorize payment of campground expenses and keep accurate account of all income and disbursements. To lay off lots and approve new cabins and trailers to be placed on the campground. To approve all cabin or trailer lot transfers. To hire caretaker for the campground. To attend to all material work on the campground. To appoint committees to work under the direction of Board of Extension. To obtain approval of majority of Board Number 1 for any capital expenditures in excess of $150,000. And then they are to prepare and present an annual summary report to Board Number 1 and the Chairman of the General Conference. And they also, I would add here, provide a meeting on Friday of camp meeting after the Bible school program that gives you some idea of the financial affairs of the church and the work that the Board of Extension is doing. If you have any interest in that, certainly encourage you to attend. That brings us to the General Conference. The General Conference is subservient to Board Number 1 and was created in 1950. Its members are elected by the affiliated congregations and serve for a 4-year term. The General Conference elects its own officers from within its membership. And so this is... was created more or less as an advisory board to Board Number 1 to formally present the opinion of the membership of the church at large to Board Number 1. It also provides an avenue for the General Conference to petition Board Number 1 to take up an issue. In other words, if there's something that the people feel like needs to be addressed, and the board has been dragging its feet on that, there is a formal channel through the General Conference where that can be done. The next thing is the ordained ministers. And this is another important role of the church and vital to our operation. They handle a lot of the things pertaining to legal authority. Wherever the church happens to overlap with the laws of the state, ordained ministers are useful here. Reading from the discipline about the ordained ministers. Although Christ-sanctified Holy Church strongly teaches that all believers are called to minister, the church does ordain ministers to further empower those ordained to undertake the work of the church. There shall be no salary provided for ordained ministers of Christ-sanctified Holy Church. There is no difference made in gender as to ordained ministers. The duties and responsibilities of the ordained ministers are defined by the bylaws of the church corporation. So reading to you the duties of the ministers. To afford spiritual guidance, encouragement, and consolation to fellow members of Christ-sanctified Holy Church. To work diligently to instill in others a desire for sanctification. To perform marriages. To officiate where legal authority is required, and to work fully with Board Number 1 of Christ-sanctified Holy Church. So that's something of the government and the structure of the church and how it operates. But we need to remember that all of this is for the purpose of building up the spiritual church, the church of Jesus Christ. By building our own spiritual lives, we do that. By adding members to the church, we do that. In other words, everything that the church, that Christ sanctified Holy Church does, ought to be to contribute to the perfecting of the saints, the work of the ministry, and the edifying of the body of Christ. That's a biblical church. That's what a biblical church does. And there are many different offices, there are many different roles, but all things are for His honor, for His glory, and to lift Him up, to promote the spiritual welfare of the people, promote the gospel of Christ, and to teach the Word of God. So let us all be encouraged to contribute to that work. The edification of the body, the work of the ministry, the perfecting of the saints. We all have a place to play there in the body of Christ. Let's pray for our church, and may God give us direction as we move forward. Now, we want to hear from you. We'd love to have more communication with the membership of the church. And so we're asking you more or less if there's any questions that you have, particularly those who are new to the church or new in the faith, contact us. You could reach out to some member of the board, and short of that, you can always go to our website, and there's a Contact Us tab there, and that information will get to us. If we see a common thread of interest, then perhaps we'll take up that in a future episode. But it's been good to be with you today. Love you all so much, and ask that you would pray for us and pray for our church. May God give us direction as we move forward. For board number one, this is Jeff Price. May God richly bless you.